This is The Takeaway. I'm John Huckenberry. Thanks so much for listening. We take you now to a fantasy land called Milwaukee. Sitcom City on the lake north of Chicago, where the nice white girls Laverne and Shirley work at the brewery, and the town's best-known industry is an old song lyric.
What's made Milwaukee famous has made a loser out of me.
The Democratic Party has failed and betrayed the African-American community. Democratic crime policies, education policies, and economic policies have produced only more crime, more broken homes, and more poverty.
That's Republican nominee Donald Trump arguing yesterday that traditional Milwaukee politics has made the urban center of this city a loser in terms of resources, crime, and economic justice. Is that an argument to vote for Donald Trump, who wasn't speaking anywhere near the inner city of Milwaukee? He spoke to a reportedly all-white audience in West Bend.
No community in this country has been hurt worse by Hillary Clinton's immigration and all of her policies than the African-American community, and she considers them a guaranteed vote.
The tensions in this city from the shooting death of 23-year-old Seville Smith, a black man whose death by a police officer led to riots in the Sherman Park neighborhood of Milwaukee. The tension is still visible. Activists in Wisconsin have noted that the state has the largest achievement gap among black and white students in the United States. 4 out of 5 black children in Wisconsin live in poverty. Milwaukee itself has the distinction of being the most segregated city in America. To talk about all this, we have Mark Levine, the director of the Center for Economic Development at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, and Venus Williams, the director of the urban farm Alice's Garden and a community center known as the Body and Soul Healing Arts Center in Milwaukee. Both were quite anxious to dispel pop culture myths about their city.
The frustration that has built up in this community has been building up for decades. And so what people don't understand is when you feel hopeless, when you feel as though your voice does not matter, you find other ways to express yourself and to get the attention of those who you feel can make decisions or who have been making decisions on your behalf.
How would you rate the sort of pop cultural mythology of Milwaukee, the land of Laverne and Shirley and the Bridesmaids movie? Mark Levine, it depicts Milwaukee as this seemingly white, city by the lake that's not Chicago.
There's a reason that Laverne and Shirley was obviously set in the 50s or 60s, Bridesmaids, I can't speak to that, but that has nothing to do with the reality, certainly, of contemporary Milwaukee. Contemporary Milwaukee, the city itself, is a highly diverse city. The migration of African Americans to Milwaukee, which accelerated in the 1960s and 70s, has made the city about 40% black, but the key defining characteristic here is the intense level of segregation, so that 90% of the African Americans in metropolitan Milwaukee live in the central city. Put another way, only about 10% live in the suburbs. That's the lowest rate of black suburbanization in the country. By contrast, as that black migration occurred in the 60s and 70s, you had a rather substantial white flight, such that today in Milwaukee, and this is the sort of the opposite of the Laverne and Shirley notion, you've got about 80% of the region's white population that lives in suburbia, 90% of the region's black population that lives in the city. And so you've got two very different kinds of racial and cultural environments. And the other part of the Laverne and Shirley bit that I think we probably ought to mention is that Laverne and Shirley are obviously working in breweries, and Milwaukee was a highly manufacturing-oriented city in the 60s that provided good, solid, family-supporting manufacturing jobs. Well, Milwaukee's lost 80% of those manufacturing jobs since the late 1960s, and that's had a monumentally negative effect, particularly in the African-American community, where lots of African-American males had gotten those family-supporting jobs in the 60s and 70s and now no longer have them.
Right. Even as a person growing up in Pittsburgh and watching this portrayal of Milwaukee with Laverne and Shirley in Happy Days, when I chose to move here in 1988, my entire family said, there are black people in Milwaukee?
What has that meant culturally to the African-American community, having that level of segregation, the fact that the manufacturing jobs have gone? And, you know, a lot of people don't really know that, you know, big companies like Johnson Wax are in Milwaukee, and one of the biggest financial institutions in the country, Northwestern Mutual Life, is in Milwaukee. And I don't necessarily see them locating their offices in downtown Milwaukee.
Our situation here in Milwaukee in the African-American community is one that has been defined from the very beginning by redlining and where we can and cannot go, where we are and are not welcome. That has, since the jobs have gone away, and since a lot of the population, especially our African-American male population, has vanished from the city of Milwaukee, the feeling of this is not our city, even though we comprise the majority of this inner city, is just a feeling of being invisible.
Venus is exactly right. The disparities between whites and blacks in Milwaukee are incredibly stark. They're among the widest disparities on a whole host of indicators in the entire country. I mean, you know, the typical black household earns about half what the typical white household does in Milwaukee. Those white suburbs that I mentioned earlier are among the most prosperous in the country. And so, you know, Venus is right in talking about Milwaukee being a pretty good place generally for the white community, but on a whole host of indicators, the black community here is suffering mightily.
Venus, what's the message of Donald Trump speaking in West Bend and not right downtown?
I think that it's easy to distance yourself, whether it is physically or emotionally or spiritually, about the reality of this nation, and Milwaukee reflects that. And so for that person to not come to Milwaukee, especially during this week, and address all that has been going on, just quite frankly shows that I'm trying to be polite, so let's not be polite, that his ignorance and platform of hatred and denial is just something that he can continue to get away with by not facing reality.
But let's look at what he did say. And from the standpoint of what you've both said about the persistent segregation and lack of economic resources and dignity in Milwaukee, Trump's argument, even though he has no support in the African-American community numerically, is that what has voting Democratic got you there in Milwaukee, you know, over the last several decades? Certainly hasn't gotten you much.
There's always the assumption that because African-Americans have predominantly voted Democratic, that those Democratic laws have been what have prevailed in this state. And that simply is not true. We have been voting, most of us, Democratic, but we have a Republican governor that has taken us back to a different century. And so to think that it's no different than Obama being in office as a Democratic president, but the gridlock and the power that sits within the Republican Party has really been what has determined a lot of the policies and impacts of our state, beginning with Tommy Thompson and welfare reform that didn't reform anything for the African-American community, but simply made life harder.
I think there's blame to go around across the board.
Indeed.
I mean, I certainly don't think that local policy, for example, in Milwaukee has been terribly responsive to the plight of the African-American community. I don't think local policy has been particularly targeted or focused on anti-poverty programs. The big money and the big initiatives are basically on downtown-oriented projects in the community. There's obviously stuff going on in the neighborhoods, but if you look at the disparity in the expenditures on projects, it's extraordinary. And so, you know, you're spending billions of dollars in Milwaukee on subsidies for developers, on subsidies for sports team owners to build, stadiums and arenas. And meanwhile, you've got half of the city's African-American male working age population that today is not working.
Wow. Venus, let me ask you two questions. One, as an activist and as a community organizer yourself, what is it you would like to be able to do right now and can't? And is there any place, any institution, a Brewers game, churches? And I know the answer to that is no. Where whites and blacks mix in Milwaukee, any place?
If you were at our farm last night, you would have seen the Rainbow Coalition of the City of Milwaukee. There are spaces and places such as Alice's Garden where the community comes together on almost a daily basis and mixes and represents what you do not see. We always say, if the outside of the fence of Alice's Garden could look and feel and have the spirit of the inside of this fence, then this city would be a much better space. What I would like to be able to do when I walk out of this studio today is to have gainful, meaningful, life-supporting employment for every single human being I see. And that's across any color line.
Mark Levine, there is a tradition of economic development targeted at the inner city in the Midwest. I'm wondering what Milwaukee's experience is of that. We've talked about the erosion and the diminishment of those services, but the long history of manufacturing and economic development in Milwaukee would suggest that there is a way to bubble this up from the neighborhood organizations that Venus represents.
There's a pretty vibrant grassroots community-based organization sector in Milwaukee. Venus is maybe one of the greatest examples of that, that are doing creative things with urban gardening, urban agriculture. The big dollars, the big resources aren't available in the community for those initiatives. The vast majority of economic development dollars in this community, you know, are spent on these big ticket subsidies for developers or for sports arenas and the like. And so that hard work of rebuilding the base of communities is simply not being supported sufficiently by resources, you know, billions of dollars of resources to turn Central City neighborhoods around. I mean, I'm thinking in terms, quite frankly, of, you know, New Deal kinds of policies, of major public works projects, infrastructure expenditures that will put people to work.
Mark Levine, thanks so much for speaking with us.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Venus Williams, thanks so much for taking the time to talk with us about your community and about the initiatives that are actually part of a story we never hear about in Milwaukee.
You are welcome.
Venus Williams is director of Alice's Garden in Milwaukee, and Mark Levine is director of the Center for Economic Development at the University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.